So it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. So whenever Father's Day comes around, I inevitably find myself thinking about a cartoon from my childhood. And this cartoon is called A Bear for Punishment. Maybe you know it. It's one of my favorites. It tells the story of a family of three bears. Okay, so there's Pa Bear, there is Ma Bear, and then there is this enormous diapered baby bear named Junior. So Ma Bear and Junior Bear are doing their best in this particular cartoon. They're doing their best to celebrate Father's Day. You know, they're trying to make it special. But Pa Bear, he doesn't want anything to do with Father's Day. Truth be told, he doesn't want anything to do with his family. And everything they do to celebrate Father's Day leaves him bruised and beaten up. For example, at one point, Junior decides he's going to fill his father's pipe. And so he goes into the closet, and he looks at this canister, and on the canister it says, G-U-N-P-O-W-D-E-R. And he looks out at the crowd, you know, he looks at everybody and says, tobacco. So he takes it and he fills his father's pipe with it, and he brings it back to his father, and he says, I am a good boy, I am. And he lights the tobacco, the gunpowder, and his father gets blown up. And stuff like that happens throughout the cartoon. And Father Bear gets more and more sour as this thing goes on. And he'll say, Father's Day, Father's Day. And he looks like this. It's one of my favorite pictures from the cartoon, Father's Day. And Ma Bear will say things like, but Henry, it's Father's Day. And he answers back, I know, Father's Day. And he gets increasingly grumpy. Now, as much as I enjoy the irony of that particular cartoon, and I really enjoy the slapstick of it all, I mean, I'm not that highbrow, there's really not much else I can relate to in it. Because for me, one of the greatest earthly blessings of this life has been the blessing of being a dad. And I don't say that because it's been easy, because it hasn't been easy. Being a dad has required time, it's required energy, and wisdom, and patience, and prayer, and perseverance, along with a host of other things, dealing with hospitalizations, inevitably the car accidents. We had five in our home. It has pointed out to me my many weaknesses, and it has stretched me beyond the point that I believed I could be stretched, beyond a point that I could ever have imagined. But even with all its demands, all that it demanded of me, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Now, back in May, I told you that I had been struck by how much Paul seems to have liked the Thessalonians. I'd been struck by how he spoke of them in familial terms as he spoke about his ministry among them. And like an example would be like chapter 2 in verse 7, when Paul says that when he was with them, he cared for them just as a nursing mother cares for her children. And with that, you got kind of a picture of the nurture he poured into them. You got a picture of the care that he poured out as he did ministry among them. He also called them brothers and sisters to highlight the fellowship that he shared with them, that common bond they had as adopted members in the household of faith. And then in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, he says this. He says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Now, even though Paul's point wasn't to teach them about the nature of fatherhood, his words captured my attention in that moment, because I saw in them some truths about fatherhood that I thought would be good for us to go back and look at today, since it's Father's Day. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and we'll see what the Spirit may have for us this morning. But before we do that, let's take a moment and just offer a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is holy. I thank you, Father God, that in it we can see the wonders of who you are. I pray, Father God, that now you would take these words and meditations of my heart and that you would use them to magnify your name. I pray that this time would be truly an act of worship as your name is uplifted and as your word is upheld. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So the word says this, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." So as I look at Paul's words this morning, this first thing that jumps off the page at me are these words, "A father deals with his own children." As a father deals with his own children. Now, when we say or we're asked to deal with something, we know what that means. It means that we're going to have to give our time and energy to engage in some problem or some situation to get something done. After all, it's hard to deal with an issue, it's hard to deal with a situation if we're not willing to give of our time, if we're not willing to engage and give our energy to that particular task. It reminds me of the time when we were teaching our guys to drive. So I had started that process, but it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. So I lasted about 2 weeks before I could do it no longer. And so I kind of stepped out of engaging in the teaching how to drive thing. And of course, when I stepped out of it, Karen decided, well, we need to teach them to drive. So she stepped in because she's way braver than I am. So she stepped into the mix. It wasn't shortly thereafter that she ended up calling me one day. I was here at the office, and she called me, and she said, "Hi, I'm all done teaching how to drive. I need you to get engaged. I need you to be re-engaged in that." And so I valiantly stepped back into the arena, and terrified as I was, and I'm pretty sure that I left marks on the dashboard of the car, and I had pushed a hole through the seat. I mean, down through the floorboard, you know, because of the stopping, and I had serious neck issues at the end of this process. But they learned to drive. So I look at this verse, and it reminds us as dads that a faithful father is someone who is giving of his time and energy to be engaged in the lives of his children. Now, you might say to yourself, well, of course. But let me tell you this. I think, men, we're often better at thinking we're engaged than truly being engaged. You know this from your conversations at home. We can look like we're right there. We can act like we're right there. But if we were given a quick quiz, you know, one of those pop quiz that we hate in school, if we were given a quick quiz, it's pretty evident sometimes that we're not there at all. We look it, we act it, but we're not present. We're really not that engaged. And I know this because every now and again I will hear a guy say that he can't do something or he won't be somewhere because he has to babysit his kids. Gentlemen, for the record, you don't babysit your own kids. You babysit other people's children. You parent and you engage your kids. If you find that you're babysitting your kids, then you may want to reevaluate just how much you're actually engaged with them. And guys, I know it's very easy to lose yourselves in your work and in our projects and in ministry and home repair and hobbies and bowling leagues and the like. I've experienced this in my own life. It was a number of years ago, and I remember Karen called me at the office and she said one of our sons wasn't feeling well. And she said, "I'm gonna take him to the doctor." And I said, and she said, "Will you meet me there?" And I looked at my schedule and I said, "Man, I'm just crazy busy. There's no way I can pull that off. I just can't do that." And she said, "Oh, okay." And then I hung up the phone and I got to thinking about this truth. The truth was that if any one of you had called me that day and said that you were on your way to the hospital or on the way to the doctor and you needed something, I would have tried to move heaven and earth to try to get there. But when my family called, I was too engaged in work, I was too engaged in this ministry to actually put it down and go where I was needed. And it struck me so hard, I ended up calling back to the house and saying, hey, I'll be there. Now, I know there are occasions in which you can't. You just can't. But I would submit, gentlemen, I would submit that those cases are less often the case than being able to be there. And I think sometimes we forget that, and we choose to engage in other ways. So a faithful dad is seeking to be engaged. He's looking for ways to be involved. Hey, dads, are you engaged? Are you engaged these days? Or is something else taking your time? Is something else always have trump card over what you're doing? And if you're not sure if you're engaged or not, then I would encourage you to ask your wife. She knows if you're engaged. And then prepare yourself for your answer. Now, not only is the faithful dad seeking to be engaged, but he's also seeking to be purposefully engaged. That means that he has a higher goal in his engagements with his kids. So what's the higher goal? Well, Paul says it this way. He says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Do you see it? To live lives worthy of God. Now, when I was a younger man, I used to pray something like this over my life. I'd say, "Father God, help me to live a life worthy of you today." And then one day, I remember I had this aha. Maybe you know what those are. You know, that quick, instantaneous knowledge that you say, oh, I got this wrong. And I suddenly realized that I was saying worthy, but what I was actually asking God to help me with was to earn and sort of pay him back for all that he had done in my life. For that life that he had given me by grace through faith, by no work of my own. And I share that because I think that it's easy for us to think of living lives worthy of God in sort of a transactional way, as a way of sort of paying him back for the life that he's given us. But know this, there is no transaction in view here. And how could there ever be? How could there ever be the opportunity to somehow earn the favor of God by our attempts at righteousness? No, to live a life worthy of God is to walk in faith so that you may please him in every way, bearing fruit along the way, in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Living a life worthy of God is a response of gratitude and a pouring out of thanksgiving for all that he has done for us in Christ Jesus. So the faithful father is not only engaged in the life of his children, but he's purposely engaged so that his children would live lives worthy of the Lord. That is, that they would walk in faith and they'd walk in thanksgiving. Now, in response to what God has done for them, this would be something that would pour out of them. And that assumes that they know and that they have a relationship with the Lord. Because our children can't live lives worthy of the Lord if our children don't know the Lord. So faithful dads are engaging with a purpose, with a desire to introduce our children to the Lord Jesus. Now, as I'm sure you know, we can't cause our daughters or our sons to make a decision for Christ as much as we might want to. Although I think in the end that would be a curse. Can you imagine? I've seen the pain of family members who have a child who's not walking in faith. But can you imagine if you were primarily responsible for making that decision for them and they still weren't walking in faith? Can you imagine the guilt? Can you imagine the burden that would lay upon us? We don't want that. And thankfully, God hasn't required that of us. So we can't cause one of our children to know Jesus Christ, to come to know him in faith. But we can purpose to engage in their lives and live in such a way that we make it easier for them. Easier for them to recognize the Lord at work and to taste and see that the Lord is good. I think of us as gardeners in this respect. We know that we can't, We know that we don't make the garden grow. But if we engage in the work of gardening and pruning and weeding and watering, the odds of the garden bearing fruit are far greater than if we don't care for it or if we deal with it only haphazardly. It's possible for a well-maintained garden to produce nothing. That's possible. And it's possible for an unworked garden to be productive. But it's not likely. You know, as fathers engaged purposely in the lives of our children, we want to make sure that we're doing what we can to make the garden productive so that our daughters and our sons will have every opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord, the one who desires that all men and all women should be saved so that none should perish. We don't want to be, as dads, the ones who are getting in the way. So how does a faithful father pursue the goal? Well, again, I think we get a clue here. Because Paul says this. He says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." When a faithful dad is present, and when a faithful dad is purposely engaged in the lives of his children, he's going to see how their lives are unfolding. He's going to see the good, and he's going to see the not so good, and he's going to see all the stuff in between because he's going to be up close and a part of their lives. And because of that, because he's engaged, he's going to be in a better position to meaningfully encourage, to meaningfully comfort, to meaningfully challenge, and to urge them on as they need it in each of the circumstances of life. Now, I say meaningfully because these things have little real impact. The encouraging and comforting and urging have really little impact when you have no relationship with the one to whom you're offering them. I remember years ago, I was out someplace, and I remember this stranger approached me, and I was with the boys. And I remember that the stranger came up to me, and they said, "You're doing a great job as a father." Now, that was nice. That was nice. It's better than a castigation. You know, it's better than a pointed judgmental finger. But the truth is, it didn't have much real meaning. Because that person only had the briefest snapshots on which to form an opinion, to form a judgment. I mean, here's the thing. What he didn't see was the chaos in the car before we went out. What he didn't see was the issues at home and trying to gather kids together and listening to grumpy children decide whether they wanted to be there or not be there. He didn't see any of that process. All he saw was this image, and he assumed that everything must be honky-dory based upon that. That encouragement didn't mean a whole lot. And I also know this from my experience of being asked to do funerals for families that I don't know. How hard it is, I would submit nearly impossible, to provide real comfort to others who are hurting and who desperately need a sense of comfort when you don't know them and they don't know you. You want to bring them that comfort, but it's hard to produce. But the real power of encouragement and the real power of comforting and urging to something greater is founded in relationship. When a dad is purposefully engaged in the lives of his children, when he knows them, he can then encourage them when they're struggling to do the right thing. Or encourage them when they have done the right thing because he's seen it. And he can comfort them when they've taken a hit and they're doubting God's faithfulness. And he can urge them on and call them to persevere when they're challenged and they're not so sure they can carry on. Together, by way of encouragement and comfort, in urging, he's able to train them up in the way they should go. Encouragement, comfort, and challenge are important. And they're necessary in the training of a child, but they are made all the more powerful. They're made all the more powerful if they're grounded in the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. So that the child of God may be equipped for every good work. When we encourage in light of God's word, using and relying on the truths of God's word as the basis for providing our comfort and challenge, it becomes a part of our equipping that young woman or that young man to live a life worthy of God and to walk in faith. Dads, this is why it's another reason, and it's all the more important, that you be walking with Jesus yourself. You can't lead your daughter or son where you are not willing to go. You can talk a good talk, but unless you're growing in Christ, unless you're building that relationship and walking in faith, you'll find it very difficult to lead others in that way. Your walk in faith is integral to your being a faithful father. It's integral to your providing comfort and encouragement and words of challenge within the context of Scripture. Your words and your teaching are going to be more meaningful if your children see you walking in faith and leaning on the Lord and seeking Him yourself. So often we forget that. So often we want them to go in a way that we haven't gone ourselves. Okay, so we see that faithful fathers are men who seek to engage their kids. And they're looking to give of their time and their energy to their children. Faithful dads are men who engage purposefully. They're interacting with their daughters and their sons with the desire that they would not only come to know and love Jesus, but they would learn to walk in faith before Him. Understanding, of course, that the children in your household will be disciples of Jesus a lot longer than they're going to be in obedience to you and have to respond to you and be in your home, right? I wanted the boys to know Jesus Christ. I couldn't make it happen. But as they grew up, always with this desire that I would look across the table someday at young men who knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't care what they did as a job. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker, I don't care. But if we're purposely engaged, what I longed for was that you would know Jesus. And what I prayed for was that they'd come to know Jesus. Faithful dads desire that. They want their kids to know Jesus in His fullness. And lastly, faithful dads are men who seek to encourage and comfort and urge their children on, buttressed by the truths of God's word, truths that we must know and seek and to have fill our hearts and minds so that we can share them with our children. Now, all that said, I want to say a couple of other things. The first thing is this. Your days of active parenting, they may well be behind you. You may have an empty nest. That's the situation in our home. But I would ask that you keep in mind that you can still be a part of your adult children's lives. You can still engage dads, even if your times are more limited. And when you do, you can still engage purposefully as you continue to testify to the love you have for Jesus. And you can still encourage and comfort and urge them on in their walk of faith. Your days of offering your opinion willy-nilly, unasked for, may be over. Maybe even should be over. But those days of modeling who Jesus is in your life and continuing to try to draw your children into that knowledge of Him, that should be carrying on. And if your children already know Jesus, then you have the opportunity to continue to grow them in that relationship. But if your children don't know Jesus, then you can be the one who tries to pray, is in prayer for them and continues to introduce them to Jesus that they might know the Lord of life. Your time as fathering hasn't ended. It's just morphed. It looks a little differently. And perhaps you don't have children, but you have impact on the life of a child. You too can engage purposely, being mindful of the fact that your words and your deeds are being watched. And you want to live your life in such a way that the children that you have an impact on will see Jesus Christ at work in you, that you might have the joy of introducing them to the Lord of life, that you might be able to encourage them as you participate in their lives, that you might be able to comfort them, that you might be able to urge them on, all with the goal that they would know eternal life. You don't have to be a dad to do that. You just have to be engaged. And then there'll be some of you who feel like we've blown it. I know there were lots and lots of times when I was raising my boys that I felt like I'd blown it. I have shelves of books on how to parent. I would devour books on the topic. And every book seemed to point out my weaknesses. But having weaknesses, having blown it, doesn't have to have the last word for you as a father. Remember that in Christ our sins have been taken as far as the east is from the west, right? In Christ his mercies are new every morning, and we're given this new day to live for him. So today, if you see yourself failing, don't despair. That's the wrong answer. And don't give up. That's really not an option either. Instead, turn to God and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to clear up your mind. Ask him to help you refocus. And then rise up, O man of God, and have done with lesser things. And then turn to the Lord. Fix your eyes back on Jesus and walk in renewed faith and allow him to transform you as a father and as a man. Your kids don't need a perfect dad. Never have, never will. They need a present dad who loves the Lord Jesus, who loves their mom, and who loves them. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would guard over us in these days. I pray that you would fill us with your joy at the role of that fathers can play in the lives of kids. And I pray, Father God, that you would be at work nurturing men, rising men up to take on that role and take on that responsibility. I pray, Father God, that your name would be praised in the households that call upon your name. And I pray, Father God, that you would be at work healing wounds that have come as people have interacted with their dads in the past. I just pray that you'd be at work healing those. And I pray that you'd be at work rising up a new generation of faithful sons and daughters. Father, work in us, move in us, challenge us by your word, and encourage us in these days that we might be the men you've called us to be. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.